Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
Right now, get your voices ready, get our hearts ready, and let's lift our voices up in song as we sing to our Lord, and we continue to worship and adore Him even as we do so. God bless you.
What say, Lord, it's you have gave me life, and I can't explain just how much you mean to me now. But you say me, Lord, I give all that I am to you, and every day I will be a light that shines your name. Every day, Lord, I'm going to stand upon your word, and I pray that I'ma come to know you more, that you will guide me every single step I take, and every day I will be a light unto your world. Every day it's you I live for. Every day I follow after you. Every day I walk with you, my Lord. Every day, Lord, I learn to stand upon your word, and I pray that I might come to know you more, that you would guide me with every single step I take, and every day I will be a light unto your world. Every day it's you I live for. Every day I follow after you. Every day I walk with you, my Lord. Every day it's you I live for. Every day I follow after you. Every day I walk with you, my Lord. It's you I live for every day. 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 It's you I live for. Every day, it's you I live for. Every day, I follow after you. Every day, I walk with you, my Lord. Every day, it's you I live for. Every day, I follow after you. Every day, I walk with you, my Lord.
We are glad to have you listening today, but would you like even more quality Bible teaching? If so, please visit our website, where you can listen and watch past episodes and learn and interact with others as we focus on God's Word. The place to get started is our website, calvarywv.com. We would also love to have you visit with us in person. Mount Calvary is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia, at the Westmoreland exit, half mile north of the I-64, I-77 split. To learn more, visit calvarywv.com.
Well, there's all sorts of ways to measure things, and there's all sorts of ways to measure us. I just was putting together a little list here, and some of the things that we tend to measure about ourselves. When it comes to our nutrition, we can measure our calories, our weight, our height, that sort of thing. In life, we can measure all sorts of things, our economic status, our possessions. But personally, you think about us. We can talk about our BMI, our body mass index, cholesterol, sugar, enzymes, proteins, temperature, blood pressure, oxygen level, heart rate, muscle strength, pupil dilation, on and on and on it goes, bone density, all those sorts of things. And there's something that you no doubt have had pointed at your forehead somewhere in recent days. And let me just check. Looks like I'm good to go for another day. But these infrared scanners to make sure our temperature, we're not running a fever, to help us stay separate. But when it comes to the spiritual realm, what are the measurements that we should take? I know sometimes we as churches are guilty of simply measuring how many participants we have in worship. How many people are coming? How many people are listening? What is our membership? And then also measuring our income and our expenses. And hopefully our expenses are under our income. It seems to work a lot better that way. So we measure those things. But does that really get to the heart of where we are, the progress we're making? Well, I want to direct your attention back to Ephesians chapter 4 as we continue in this practical part of the book where the Apostle Paul is imploring the believers in Ephesus to take a good look at themselves and how are they going to live up to this great calling that chapters 1 through 3 was talking about. So I want to direct your attention to verse 13 as we talk about how mature are you, as we ask that question. How mature are you? And as we look into this text, we're going to find three ways of measuring our maturity that maybe we haven't thought of recently and maybe not at all. So let's look at those. And I want to draw your attention to verse 13 through 16 of this passage here in Ephesians 4. Till we all come to the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried with every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Well, that's a few short verses, but there's a lot packed in there. And let's just find out and ask ourselves the question, how mature are we? We must really evaluate, sort of this idea, we must really evaluate our life according to the measure of maturity as we see in this passage. You can see it in others as well, but today. So let's just be honest with ourselves. Let's take a good look at ourselves. Let's look deep and let's consider before the Lord the maturity we're making, because we want to be making maturity. Now remember, I want to say this at the outset. We talked about this last week, and I hope you, if you haven't heard our teaching from last week, you can go back and get it. Because it's important for us to understand that going forward, the change that takes place in us is the work of the Holy Spirit on the inside. Yes, and God sovereignly arranges things on the outside, but from the inside out, He's changing us. It is His work. If we are mature, it's because of Him. We need to recognize that He is there. We need to depend on His work. We need to trust in His work. At the same time, we cooperate that with our trying and our doing. It's not just doing, it's depending. It's not just trying, it's trusting. And I assured you last week that you would hear that phrase again and again throughout the remainder of this teaching in Ephesians, and I want that to get embedded into your thinking. So we're talking primarily about how we cooperate, how we measure, how we do things that God would instruct us to do in the Scriptures. But as we do these things, we have to have this underlying sense that God Almighty is at work in me. By the way, what an exciting, enthusiastically producing, motivating thing that is, to think that God Himself would even know me, pay attention to me, put up with me. But God is within me, and you need to say that for yourself. God is within you if you're one of His children, changing you from the inside out. So let's take a look at some of the measures here. Measure number one, is your faith solid? Is your faith solid? Verse 13 is that pivot verse. We looked at the first part of it last week. And that was the purpose of the gifted people given to the church that we saw in verse 12. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, till we all are grown up, in other words. And then he says, of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. This measure of the perfect man is measured by Jesus' character, by Jesus' life. We are being remade in His image. Just as we were in our initial creation, we're made in the image of God. In the new creation, we are being remade in the image of Jesus Christ. It says, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, until we're just like Him. That process is going on. We understand it will not be complete until we see Him face to face. We'll be like Him, for we will see Him as He is, as John writes in one of his epistles. But here he tells us that this is the measure. Now, the first part of this is your faith solid. This is verse 14. It said that we should no longer be children. In other words, we don't want to stay in that beginning state. Now, we all started there, We were all infants in Christ. We were all beginners in our faith, but we can't stay there. And we as a church don't want our church to stay there. We don't want our collective body of believers to stay there. And one of the things that mark the measure of God's work in us and our cooperation with us is this next phrase, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You see a lot of conspiracy there, don't you? You know, I mean, he talks about deceitful plotting, craftiness, trickery, wind of doctrine. What he's talking about here is we need to be have our faith solid. That we believe the scriptures, that we have a good foundation biblically, that we understand the fundamentals of our truth, that God created us, that we are sinners, God had to send his son to be our savior, that Jesus Christ is truly, fully, and eternally God, that he came to live among us, yes, but he came to die, not for himself, but as the substitute for us. He took our sins on him, and through faith in that, we can have his gift of eternal salvation. That he was dead, buried, rose again, ascended into the heavens, as we looked at last week, and now he's seated far above all those heavens. He's in the highest position, and someday he's going to return to this earth. Those essential realities of the faith, and there's more to it than that brief summary, but you understand what I'm saying. Those fundamental, just rock-solid bedrock, if you want to say it that way, doctrines of the Scriptures. That's what we need to be grounded in. Because if not, we will be pushed away. Some wind will come blowing, and we'll be pushed like a ship will be blown off course. And he talks about children tossed to and fro. Particularly those who are false teachers don't go after mature believers. They don't particularly go after non-believers. But those who are teaching false truth, and that's an oxymoron, I know, but they present it as truth, but it is false. It's crafty, cunning, all these things he talks about later in verse 14. They pick on immature believers, new Christians. It sounds spiritual. It sounds good. It sounds helpful. It sounds healthy. It sounds exciting. And rather than being founded on the Word of God, they're pulled into strange understandings. And I could give you a catalog of false teaching that I have known people have gotten pushed aside and battered by those raging winds. But really, we need to understand the truth. We'll focus, if we know the truth, and that's why we spend time, as we're doing right now, looking into God's Word, studying, looking what these words mean, looking at the background, looking at the implications, comparing Scripture with Scripture so that we have a solid biblical foundation. So that will help us do this. First of all, to identify error. Otherwise, we're going to, by this craftiness, cunning craftiness, deceitful plotting, there's people out there tricking us, people using trickery, deception. And not every time you flip on the radio or flip on the television or go scrolling on your device on the internet, are you going to find someone teaching in a way that is in harmony with the Word of God. The only way you're going to know what is out of harmony is to be a student and make sure you're in a place where you're getting sound teaching so you can identify the error. So you can do that in such a way. I know our son is a police officer, as many of you know, and several years ago he was called to a scene where they thought someone was passing counterfeit $100 bills at a retail store. So they were stopped, and he had to make a decision whether they was going to hold them, because you got to have some probable cause to hold somebody, and the only evidence he had was these $100 bills that were presented to him. And I remember him telling me later, he said, "Dad, at this stage of life, I've not had too many $100 bills in my hand. Is it real or is it fake?" He made the right call. It was a counterfeiting ring, and those folks were dealt with according to the law. But the best way is to be familiar with the truth, to see the genuine article, and then the non-genuine article will show up. Be familiar with the truth. Identify error. And then we need to learn the truth. Just be a lifelong, lifetime learner of the truth. You have given your time to study God's Word. Just make a commitment, whether online or in person, or what we do in other settings as part of our church ministry, or what the resources that we're providing for you online. Be a student of the Word of God. We are spending a lot of time, a lot of energy, and a lot of effort to get the teaching of the Word of God out. That's the reason we do this online service. That's the reason we gather in person on Sunday mornings. That's the reason we have an online Bible study on Wednesday night. Our small groups, some are meeting in person, some are using Zoom to be able to meet. And we're going to try to expand those offerings in the not-too-distant future to include more participation. So you'll be watching for that and be listening for that. But I also do a weekly video, just about a 3-4 minute video called Recharge, to get that out there. Make sure you view those, subscribe, go to our website, you can learn all about that. But be a student, always be learning, always know there's something new to learn. Now, as you learn, it might be new to you, But what you learn should not be novel. You see, the things the false teachers were teaching, here's something nobody else has figured out. Here's some new truth that has just now recently been discovered. Well, this truth, as it says in Scripture, was once delivered to the saints. It's complete. It's full. We don't need new revelation. It might be we learn what is already there and practice it more, but it's not new and novel. If it's new and novel, never been heard of before, stay away from it. And then if you really want to be a person that is trafficking in the truth, make sure you share it with somebody. You're teaching someone. If you can take this truth and share it in such a way that they can understand, then you've got it. So maybe that's the role of you as a dad or you as a mom. Teach these truths to your children. Maybe it's to friends or in your friends group or in your small group. Yeah, you may not be the leader, but you can be used to take your understanding and share it with others. Make sure that we are solid in our faith. That's the first mark of maturity. And that's why we try to be a Bible-focused ministry. That's the reason we try to teach it. It's the reason we go through a book like this, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, because we want to see it as it is rather than just picking what might sound good to us at any given time. So is your faith solid? Ask yourself that question. Am I identifying it? Can I spot error? Am I a lifelong learner? Am I getting to the place where I'm sharing it with someone? Those are all questions to ask and all things to consider and to see if you are moving toward maturity. And then he makes this statement, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we avoid that error, we learn, but we speak the truth in love, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. Notice how it always comes back to Jesus. It always comes back to Christ. He is the model. He's the measure. He is the one that we serve, the one that we are being changed in like fashion unto in our character. So it's all about him. But speaking the truth in love, is the truth shared in love? That's the second mark of maturity. Yeah, you can go on either end of that little phrase, truth and love. Sometimes we think it's the loving thing, not just to tell the truth. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to make anyone feel like they're condemned or a sinner. So we'll just talk about love and acceptance and tolerance, and we'll never speak about the truth. That obviously is wrong, because unless we're confronted with what's wrong in our life, we will never have corrective steps taken. If we don't confront a sinner that he is a sinner, he sees no need to become a child of God through embracing faith in a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin is sin. The Ten Commandments and all the commandments that are in the Scriptures are there to guide us into principles of how to live. And there are some things that we should just avoid. Doesn't matter what culture out there, doesn't matter what everybody else says. If everybody else is reviewing and revising morality, we stand on this solid foundation. We talked about that. And we speak the truth. Now, we just don't speak the truth harshly either. It's in love. It's not that we just take this book and we just pound it over people's Bible, our Bibles over people's heads, and we say to them, you know, you're a sinner and you're deficient and you're not, you know, and we set ourselves up as more important than we are, sort of like the Pharisees. We can become very hypocritical. We can dispense the truth, but in a very harsh manner. So let's say it this way. To share the truth in love, we need to speak the truth without compromise, share it without compromise. What it says, we stand upon it. If it says something is wrong, it's wrong. If something is right, it's right. If it says something about God, it is true. And we just need to be very, very adhering to what God says and not trying to revise it or shade the truth, because it might be offensive to somebody. We speak the truth. At the same time, we do it in a loving fashion. That speaks of this next second thing. We speak it without compromise, and we say it with compassion. And one of the ways we do that is just say, you know what? Yes, you need the Savior, but so did I. You're a sinner and need a Savior, but I'm a sinner who's the only difference is if I've already embraced faith in the Savior in Christ. So we put ourselves in the same camp with other people. It's not like I am this high, mighty, righteous person and you're not. No, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. John Newton said it very well, all right? He said, you know, to saved a wretch like me. Our humility comes from the reality of what God has done for us. And by the way, humility comes from a consistent life of worship. It brings us back to this place of humility. So speaking the truth in love, we do it because we want people to have a better life in this world, our brothers and sisters. Hey, grow up. This one needs to change. You ever think about doing it this way? I want to pray with you about this. You need to see how you are, just as I need to see how I am. Let's help each other in this transaction of growing together. And one of the things that you find frequently back in the book of Proverbs is a description of a person who is a fool. You'll see that word all through the Proverbs. And a fool is somebody who doesn't take correction. They think they have it all figured out. They think they're all right, and they're not listening to anybody else. We don't want to be foolish, because we want the input of others, and others can see our glaring needs, deficiencies, and everything else far better than we. We need some people who love us in our lives who will speak the truth to us. But we speak with compassion. That speaks about our tone. It speaks about our intent. We do it because we love people, not because we condemn people. We do it because we care about people, not because we judge people. It's a very different set of circumstances. You want to know what love looks like? Go back and read 1 Corinthians 13, first part of that chapter. He gives a detailed description of what genuine biblical love is. And by the way, we as believers need to read that passage with great regularity, because we live in a world that is on those extremes, very truth-centered but harsh, or very loving but leaving the truth out. It is a both and. And then we say it because this is all about Him. He says in the end of verse 14, or 15, excuse me, who is the head, Christ. We do it ultimately, we speak the truth, and in a manner that's filled with compassion, without compromise, we do it because of Him. We do it because we love Him. We do it because we honor Him. So here's the second measure of our maturity. Is your faith solid? Or am I tossed around? I just don't really understand. I don't have the basics down, or I get distracted by all these other voices. Then you come back to be a student of the Word of God. You identify error. You make sure that you are a lifelong learner of the truth, to the point that you can have the ability to share that with somebody else. And then we need to speak the truth in love. Do I get over on the end of where, you know, I don't want to say anything because it might sound harsh, even if it's the truth? Or we get over on the other end, I can't wait to blast them because I'm better than they and they need to straighten up. No, it needs to be tempered with compassion. Both and. Speak the truth in love. May those words just settle into our lives, into our hearts. May they just infiltrate and percolate through our speech, that we would be people who speak the truth in love. And by the way, a church that can find that balance or be moving in that direction is going to be a healthy church. It's going to be a church that is unified. He speaks a lot, and this fits into this context of unity that's flowing through this book in this particular portion. It'll be a church that's working together, growing together. And it's as simple as this: speaking the truth, don't compromise the truth, but do it in love. Everything you say is filled with compassion for others, even as we understand that we've received the compassion of Almighty God. That balance point is so essential for church life, and we would do well to pay attention to that. And then in our personal lives, as we engage with others as well. There's a third standard of measurement, I should say, of our maturity, and it begins in verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effectual working by which every part does its share. And I'll read the rest of the verse in just a little bit. The third question, first question, remember, is your faith solid? Number two, is truth being shared in love? And number three, are you serving together? And this is all about cooperative serving, that we serve together. Now notice this serving, first of all, is focused on the needs of others. That's what it says in verse 16. From whom the whole body, so the collective body, you know, come back to that body is the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just take a moment when I just read that phrase, for whom the whole body joined and knit together. Are you part of the body? Are you part of this wonderful creation of the church, which is the body of Christ? And we'll see this again in chapter 5 when he uses marriage, between the joining of a husband and wife in marriage, as a picture of Christ in the church. But are you part of the body? You might say, well, I suppose so, or maybe so. And I'm not just talking about being a member of a church, although that is important. And we want you to take that next step of being identified with Christ in baptism if you haven't already done that. If you trusted Him, you make that faith public, you join your local church, get busy. But it's not about joining a church. This is about joining the body of Christ through faith in Christ. Are you one of God's children? Have you put your faith in Him? Or is it just something that you think about and hope about? No, it's got to be a sure, solid understanding that my sins are forgiven. They were nailed to the cross, that Jesus is my Savior. I'm trusting in Him alone. Is that you? Well, praise the Lord. We'd love to hear about it. We'd love to hear you share your faith with us and encourage us that you're growing in Him. If you're not sure and you'd like to talk to somebody, we'd love to talk to you. We're going to put in front of you, we try to put in front of you always how you can connect with us. But just go to calvarywv.com and you'll find some connection points there with us. And we would love to have a conversation to talk with you, a pastor to talk with you, answer your question. We're not going to try to trick you, as it says back in verse 14. We're not going to use cunningly devised schemes to get you to do something you don't want to do. We just want to lovingly share the truth with you and help you come to a place that you put your faith in Christ. Your life will be different. It's life that we're talking about. Your eternity will be different because you'll spend eternity with God rather than a place of destruction eternally and punishment forever. So we'd love to share with you how you can become a part of this body of Christ. But he says this body, now he's talking about here, for us, are you serving in this body? He says, knit together by what every joint supplies. Every part of the body supplies something to the rest of the body. It has a contribution to make. And we serve to meet the needs of others. Have you found your place of service in a local church? Using who you are and to help others. And sometimes it's as simple as being an encouragement, to making a phone call, to reaching out, helping, baking something, giving something, doing something. Maybe it's just as easy as being there to be a part of what's going on and to encourage each other by your presence, if nothing else. You encourage us in this online service by letting us hear from you. And I encourage you right now, if you're watching, just put watching in the field below if you have comment ability. From the form you're watching on, or send us an email. Just let us know you're there. That would encourage us. That's supplying something to the body of Christ. But your spiritual gifts, whatever God has equipped you with, what he's made you passionate about, what you love to do, what you're good at, use those gifts for his glory because it gives something to others. Serve needs of others and serve with those gifts. Serve with those gifts that you have been given, those special gifts you've been given. And notice what else it says in verse 16. According to the effectual working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body. Everybody contributes something to the greater body, and the greater body contributes something back to every part of the body. So if we all are engaged in service according to our abilities and opportunities and our giftedness, then the whole body is going to grow and flourish. It's this mystical, it's an amazing thing that God does in the spiritual realm through the power of the Spirit in all of us, that he puts us together in a church. Very different people. It's been amazing. I have now spent 10 years here at Mount Calvary serving as senior pastor, and it's been an amazing 10 years. It's been amazing to watch what had been a church that had been around for over 100 years, an amazing church, and now continuing to see these last 10 years of growth as God continues to build a congregation. And God has sent us people from every different direction and all different conceivable connection points and to build a church for his glory, to do something that encourages all of us. And hopefully lets us reach out into this community and do more for him. And do things through our missions program and other opportunities that reaches and spans the globe, reaches around the world. This is exciting, and I'm excited to be a part of what God's doing, and I'm excited for the years to come. If Jesus tarries and Jesus gives health and vitality and ability, let's keep moving forward for him because every part serves. Are you serving? That's the question. You don't know if you're mature? Sometimes if you want to know if you're healthy, you check your blood pressure. You check your temperature. You get some blood drawn out of your arm, and they do all these tests and all these numbers to see how healthy you are. No blood has to be drawn to see how spiritually healthy we are. I'm glad for that. But let's think about these three diagnostic things. Is your faith solid? Is your faith solid? That's where we begin. Is the truth being shared in love as us as a church, you as an individual? And then are we serving together? Is that what's going on? Let those be markers and measures of what we need to be doing. And then I'm going to go to the very end of verse 16. It causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. And there you come, circle right back around again, in love. That we're being built up into this loving community. Jesus said it this way in the Gospels. All men will know you are my disciples by one distinguishing marker. And that is that you have love one for another. It's indeed true that they will know we are Christ's followers by our love. May God help us as we take our pulse, as it were, of our spiritual maturity. And may God help us to walk in love with each other. I just want to simply say this. How are you growing? Ask yourself that question before the Lord. And if adjustments need to be made, let's cooperate with the Spirit by making those adjustments. Thank you for joining me in our study today. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.